They've been driving for an hour, headlights off in the pre-dawn dark. But now it is almost first light. Quinle wakes from a dream of some of the other world to a sharp cry and sees the right side door of the van open and the constable and the private springing into the bush. He hears a gunshot and a cry and jumps out of the van. A tall man in a loose shirt and trouser lies dead in the grass. By him, kneeling and wailing, a young boy not more than 10 or 11 years old is sobbing and speaking Igbo in a breaking voice, waving the small cloth sack in his hand. What? Here, Kunle says, panting. The constable, smoke still rising from the barrel of his rifle, looks dazed. We thought it was a saboteur. Sir, he says, pointing at the dead man. I shoot him, sir. I know, say, na saw him go take from Afia attack. I know, no. The sobbing boy is stamping about in deranged confusion, tugging at the lifeless father's arm. Rushing towards Kunle, he cries, save him! He can! Please, officer! The boy returns again in mad haste to listen to the dead man's chest, pleading, daddy, daddy, oh, biko, biko, teta, daddy. And when his dead father does not budge, the boy falls against Kunle's knees, tugging at his trousers. My daddy, commander, the kill, oh, my daddy. The boy continues to sob, constantly shaking the blood-stained cloth from which small grains of salt fall, as if to say again to that unseen jury of all mankind that it was for this sack full of salt that his father had been killed. Kunle and the men sit numbly, like handcuffed men, speaking from time to time to counsel the boy. At the hospital, Kunle had heard about the scarcity in the shrinking country caused by the land blockade imposed by the Nigerian government and the loss of agricultural lands as the battlefield expands. Biafra is being starved. And one of the scarcest of commodities is now salt. Kunle has not paid keen attention to this, and as food supply at the commando headquarters is diminished. At the nearby crossroads, a carter's wagon draws up slowly from the side road, its back caked in dirt. In its truck bed, covered with a white tarpaulin, sit a bevy of foreign and African nuns dressed in white cassocks. The boy calms a bit, looking at the nuns. Then he picks up again, choking through his wails. The word daddy rises in Kunle's mind with the disquieting force, as if the boy is warning him about his own impending fatherhood. The boy's misery fills him with such sorrow that he feels slowly, pressure building behind his eyes.